Welcome to another edition of the Infinite Loopcast. You're here with me, Fleshy, and Aaron.
Hello.
And Aaron, this week we've got various bits of news to tell people because you've been Skyriming.
I have. I've gone back to Skyrim. And I've started all over again because you have to.
Well, what are you playing Skyrim on?
The Oculus, the Rift. Because I've got Skyrim VR because it came out this week. In fact, I think it came out today. I'm fairly sure. Oh dear. So I'm on call, so I have to have my phone on.
Okay.
So I've only, after the 10 gig download, I haven't had much time to play it. Cause it wasn't a horrendous download that I thought it might be, but yeah, it was 10 gig. It comes with all the DLC. So I think there's one DLC I didn't buy. So obviously I've got that now. I'll play that. I'll see if any of the mods work on it. But it is a bit janky to start with, so I've got to be careful. Because I was telling you earlier that basically as you do the cart ride at the start, everybody must have done the cart ride. Anyone who wants to play Skyrim has obviously done the cart ride.
Yes. It's the very first thing that happens in the game, right?
Yeah. It's basically your intro cutscene, effectively. Because there is nothing. You just start out in that cart ride, don't you? There's no cutscene before it. You're in that cart ride, and it's basically just explaining the situation as you head into the first town. But yeah, as I went through the gate of the first town, the cart just jumped up in the air, probably a good few feet, and just wobbled my whole vision and just made me feel a bit queasy.
Can you not disable that? Are there like comfort settings?
There are comfort settings, but obviously that's a bit of scripted navigation that you are part of. So most of the time you wouldn't do that. That's the only time I think that it moves you without you being in control. Because when you go when you take a cart ride between towns later on, it just effectively teleports you. It's a quick trap, fast travel sort of system.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, so if you go to Whiterun and get the cart outside, you basically take the cart and then you appear at the cart station at the other place that you chose to go to.
Yes.
That's basically just the fast travel system, and you don't actually go on the cart. I think you can ride horses, can you? Can you? I can't remember. I remember doing a lot of walking about. So, oh, no, you can buy a horse. No, you can definitely buy a horse. Gosh, so long ago since I've played it. I was trying to remember when I last played Skyrim. And it must have been so long ago. I shall find out. But it's looking alright. I've got some slight issues with perspective in that it's a standing game. I'm not sure whether they said it was a standing game. It's definitely a standing game.
Do you feel aggrieved?
Well, given the fact that it says Rift compatible, maybe if you choose controller, you're sitting. Because that the interface did seem a bit lower when I chose controller in the options. So effectively your seated experience is a controller experience.
Okay.
Which makes sense, because you really, if you're going to use the hand controllers, you want to be standing. Because you're going to be fighting. You're going to be swinging your sword. You're going to be swinging your axe. You're going to be blocking with a shield or casting spells or whatever.
I guess so that was my issue with the PlayStation controller, was going to be that there just weren't enough buttons to make Skyrim fun.
Yeah.
Is that a legitimate concern, do you think, with the PlayStation controller? Or having now played it on...
I don't know. I don't know about PlayStation, because it hasn't got the sticks, has it?
No.
But obviously the touch is effectively... If you combine the two touches, it's got the same amount of buttons as a normal controller.
Yes, it does.
Exactly the same, in fact.
can you? So the big question is, does bow and arrow work how it should work in
theater? Oh, yes. Yes, that's one of the first things they get you to try out, is shooting a bow and arrow.
Right.
It's in the first initial setup before you get to the game, when you're configuring your VR experience.
Okay.
As you get to shoot some bow, you shoot an arrow. I haven't got to that place in the game yet, because I've just the dragon's, well, slightly smaller for the start.
It can't be a spoiler at the beginning of Skyrim by now, can it?
I don't know. I guess
maybe everybody's played Skyrim.
Yeah, everyone who wants to play it. I guess if you're just a Nintendo player, maybe you haven't picked up Skyrim on the Switch yet.
But the dragons were in the trailers.
Obviously, you've got dragons. It's called Skyrim Dragonborn or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, dragon appears at the start. And I've still got the dragon outside, and I'm just fighting the Imperials. Because I picked Stormcloak, as I always do.
Okay.
Why'd
you always pick Stormcloak?
I don't know, obviously it's the Viking side of me. Because you're picking, effectively, Vikings over Romans.
Yes.
Is effectively the choice there. You've got the Roman Imperials, and you've got the Viking Stormcloaks. It's, they're even called Nords, you know, Northmen in the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's fairly obvious who the two factions are based on. Obviously, the whole world and the settings and everything's somewhat different, but, you know, it's that's the basis. But yeah, so I pick Stormcloaks because I like that side of it, and I always pick a Nord to play. I picked a woman because I normally do.
Okay.
But you don't get to see yourself anyway, so it's a bit pointless. Because you don't have a body.
Well, there's no mirrors in the game either, are there?
Well, yeah, but you also don't have a body in VR, which is a bit weird.
Hmm.
I don't even have hands. I have... That's one really annoying thing.
Why is there no hands?
No, I've got touch controllers. Which I don't like. Whether it's a bug, I don't know, but...
You don't like the touch controllers?
I don't like seeing the touch controllers in the game. What I want to see is my hands. If you're showing me a tutorial, yes, show me the controllers and show me which buttons to press. But once I know that, maybe if when I get out the first starting area, that I'll revert to hands or something. I was hoping that once I got to choose my character.
Chosen, yeah, I was going to say maybe it was the character thing. But
no,
not.
you choose your character before you get your head chopped off. Well, go to get your head chopped off.
Yep.
Right at the start. Well, obviously, the dragon's appeared now, so that's after that bit. So yeah, I've done some teleporting because I chose teleporting. I don't think I could cope with
formation. Yeah.
I don't think I could cope with formation.
Why?
I don't know. I think there's just too much movement needed in Skyrim to make it work.
Okay.
Workable. I may turn it on at some point. I suppose you join the slower bits. When you're wandering around Whiterun or the Mage College or whatever that is. I can't remember what it's called now. Cool.
Whiterun, isn't it?
No, Whiterun's the first city you get to. First big city you get to after you come out of the cave. You get to a little town which is something river something. Some river,
river
thing.
Riverrun.
Could be Riverrun.
Whiterun
is the one opposite, just over the river.
Yeah, I see. That's basically the last big settlement I ever got to in Skyrim.
Okay, no, I got.
Because then I just got massively distracted by the world, and I never actually finished the game.
Oh, I never finished it, but I did go to the Stormcloak headquarters. So that was a fairly big place, and I did go to the mage place.
Oh, I may have made it to the Stormcloak headquarters trying to find the next big town and got disappointed and then never did anything there.
Yeah. Because you go up the mountain, don't you? Is one of the early things you do. So.
Yeah, that was. I'm pretty sure that's the Stormcloak headquarters.
Yeah. Yes, 2012 was the last time I played Skyrim. Oh no, that's when I purchased it. Okay.
That was the last time you played Skyrim on anything?
I think so. Because I've not played it on anything else. I played it maybe on the 360 to start with or something. Or the PS3 or something. But I didn't get on with the controls. So then I played it on PC. And I liked it better on there. Although I've only got 42 hours in Skyrim. Which is...
Yeah?
Minimal. It's a tiny amount. So... And I do have all the DLC for that, for some reason.
I've got it, so you might have it.
No, I got the Dragonborn DLC in 2016. It must have been dirt cheap or something. Or did you get it free for some reason? Did they give it you free for some reason? I don't know. Now, I must have been playing it in 2013 because I bought the DLC. So that'll be fun. I'll obviously need to play some more.
In your view, as an experienced VR player, does Skyrim lend itself to VR, or is this just been tacked on?
Oh, well, it's one of the early games I played in VR, to be fair, was Skyrim. Because I played it with the hack. Yeah, the mod. Which was okay, but it wasn't great, because we didn't have the touch controllers back then.
Right.
So there was no hand waviness happening. It was all seated, but it was still quite good. It's I reckon it's big open worldy games like this, but I think walking simulators are the best things for this sort of thing.
Really?
Yeah, I'd love to play a Gone Home, Dear Esther, Rapture game. It's all about exploration and looking at the environment and having a story while you're going through it, and that's the sort of thing I think just lends itself, especially something like Gone Home. You just rummage through all the drawers with touch controls.
We both know that sometimes the touch controls can be distracting rather than intuitive.
They can, but if all you're doing is grabbing and pulling, then the grips are just the grips. Although for some bizarre reason it's obviously a Vive developed game, because the triggers are the grips, so you pick things up with the triggers.
Can you not in Steamworks? Is there not like the whole change things to suit your playstyle thing?
There might be somewhere. I might have to have a look at it. Because that just annoys me. Because if it's developed for Vive, for some reason, because the triggers are on the front and the grips are on the side, it doesn't... People don't put the grips as grabbing.
I see.
On the Vive.
On Steam, it's mapped to another thing.
It's mapped to triggers.
I'm sure you can remap it.
Hopefully you can, because...
You definitely can, because Steam, you can map any controller button to anything.
I don't know that you can. Can you? I don't know. I know with a Steam controller you can. Because that's basically just emulating a controller / keyboard.
Yeah,
anyway.
But I think I'm pretty confident you can.
Okay, I'll have a look at it. I'll have a look at the settings.
Because there was the whole you can use Oculus controllers for games that they're not meant to be used for thing in Steam.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the Vive and the Oculus controllers are very similar. They've got the same number of buttons and the same types of things. Obviously, it hasn't got the trackpad, it's got the thumbsticks instead. And the buttons are in a different position, but apart from that, it's about the same. Obviously, the one thing that Vive does do is that it clicks in the four directions on the trackpad.
Right.
Whereas on the Oculus, you've got just click in on the thumbstick. So you simulate that by moving direction and clicking in.
What, when you've clicked? When do you simulate it, Aaron?
Normally you move then click, which obviously means that you're moving the thumbstick first and then clicking.
Right.
So it's a bit odd. So maybe in that context, you've got more controls on the Vive than you have on the Oculus. Mm-hmm. But then the Vive obviously hasn't got the touch sensors on the pads. On the buttons.
No, I'm with you.
Because some Oculus developed games have it so that to grip something you touch the triggers rather than pull in the triggers. Because you've got all the different, you can touch the buttons and not pull them, and that's a separate thing in Oculus where it's not on Vive. Because they're not touch sensitive buttons. So there's all sorts of stuff. And that's one of the big problems you've got with developing for VR, I guess.
Yeah, it's all the subtle variations, right?
You've got to basically take into account both of those different types of controllers. And now, obviously, Windows mixed reality stuff.
Is Windows mixed reality controllers not very similar to the HTC Vive, though?
I don't know.
I thought they were.
Yes.
I've got nothing to back that up. That's just a I think.
Okay. Yeah, but we'll have to see what I'll have to have a look, and hopefully at EGX this year I'll be able to see some. But
our tickets come through. Are we going to be reporting from the show again?
I don't know. We haven't had tickets yet, as far as I'm aware. But we haven't had tickets for Rezzed either. So who knows?
What's going on over at EGX Towers?
I assume we're a bit late. We were a bit late for getting the Rezzed tickets, and at the moment they're focused on Rezzed, so they're not actually bothering doing the press tickets for EGX.
I don't know.
But I haven't bought any tickets, so hopefully we do get tickets. Otherwise, I may not be able to go. Yes, if the tickets all sell out and we don't get our normal tickets, then
there'll be no EGX
recordings this year. Especially now I'm getting better at editing them.
Yeah, I mean you must be like a dab hand with the whole VR editing thing right now.
I'm getting there. I need some more. There's some more stuff I want, and there's definitely some more editing software I want, because the editing software I'm using is very minimal. It does do 360, but it just about does 360 editing.
Right.
I really want Adobe Premiere Pro, but that's sort of like £40 a month.
That's quite a lot.
And we're not making anywhere near that much on ad revenue. In fact, we're making next to nothing.
People, you need to buy more CD keys.
Yes, use the affiliate link. Although we haven't promoted the affiliate link for a long time.
No, we haven't. If you do want to support the show, you can go to theinfinitelucas.com/linkies.
You can, and follow that link, and
where people can probably buy Skyrim VR, right?
No, you can't, in fact.
Oh.
I did look on there to buy it, but couldn't.
After you messaged this morning, there was an offer on Green Man Gaming for it.
Was there? Oh.
Yeah, £31.
Oh, no,
I don't know if you can get a refund still from Sky, Steam.
No, because I didn't go through Steam. I went through another site.
Okay.
It was 33, I think. So it wasn't horrendously more, but...
No, that's only a pound more.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. So it's not horrendous, so... I don't mind that too much. But it was good. I got it set up, I've got it installed. All set up nicely. We'll have to sort out our Green Man Gaming affiliate link.
I think we have officially got one.
We have somewhere. I just don't know where it is. No, it's not been set up. Because there was some weirdness about it, I think.
There was, yes. I think also it was gave us a discount code to give to people. If they used the discount code when they purchased, then they affiliated with us.
Ah, right, okay. That was different to the link.
I think it was something like that.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll dig that out and pass it on. Next show.
Aaron, you've made me play a platforming game.
Yes, one we interviewed at EGX last year.
Yeah, Octahedron.
Yes, because it came out a week or two ago.
Yeah. So I've been working my way through. I've done the first world. It's a very cool mechanic.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, you can generate a platform in midair.
Yes.
And for those who really don't know, I designed a similar mechanic like that ages ago in a notebook, and I never got around to making anything with it.
Okay.
But now I'm playing someone's take, like a proper developer's take on it. It's really, really quite cool. There's a lot of guesswork in it.
Okay.
So, for example, I think a lot of it is tutorials in the first world.
Okay.
So there's a lot of stuff to do with lights, and if you make bars light up, then they become physical platforms.
Yes.
If you make them shrink, then they become non-physical platforms.
Yes, yes. So if you go to the right, they fill up.
Yes.
And if you go to the section, left. Yes, yes. I did the first one, I think.
Okay.
I'm not good at platformers, so I didn't want to bother spending too much time trying to do multiple worlds, because I knew I wouldn't be very good at it anyway. But I thought it was cool.
It's a really cool mechanic. I'm not just saying that because I thought something similar and I think it's a really cool mechanic, but it does work. It works way better than I would have ever designed this sort of stuff.
There's also, apparently it all goes to the beat as well. So all the enemies and all everything happens to the music.
I haven't noticed that. That's not to say it doesn't happen. And maybe it's just...
That was one of his things.
So, look, it might do. I might just be playing in a really unique style.
Also, you get different platforms later on to do,
yes, you
special
do.
Things.
It's a really well-designed little platform. I feel like it would play better with a controller.
Yes. Yeah, I think it is designed for a controller.
You know, it did at the beginning when I started playing it on PC. It did get upset with me. It said, no controller detected. I thought, it's probably a hint. But I stoically carried on for the sake of the show. But it's really good. I'm really impressed with it. How much is it on Steam? Do we know? Did we get a press release or anything like that?
No. I paid for it. I think it was £15, maybe less. I think
really
it was
impressed.
On discount. I probably can't see it now, can I? Because I own it.
So I'll be able to go and see it on. 25.
Oh, it's £10.
It's well worth that.
Collector's edition is £13.50.
Even that, I would say, is worth that. I'm having much more fun with that than I am.
But there is a free demo if people aren't sure.
People should just do it. It's one of those games that people should just try. Square Enix are really on it at the moment in terms of publishing.
Oh, they've got some good people.
I played the demo of Project Octopath Traveler on the Switch.
Oh, that's that Switch one that I wanted to have a go of, but can't because it's Switch.
Oh my
only.
God, Aaron, get it for the Switch. Get the Switch.
I'm not getting the Switch.
Get the Switch for this game. It is brilliant.
I may get the Switch next year if it comes down to about 200.
Currently down at 240.
Yeah. Maybe by Christmas then it'll be down. Maybe, yeah. Or maybe a summer lull. There'll be some special deals. We'll see. Because the kids have been after one.
Yeah, it's worth every penny. It really is. It's a superb concept. So I've been playing Project Octopath Traveler, which is a 16-bit 3D game. So it looks like an old 16-bit RPG.
Yeah.
But it's set in a fully 3D world, or at least a fixed view 3D world. And that's the art style, which is incredibly striking and really lends itself to some prettiness at various points.
Yeah.
These two stories that are available, you can play as the warrior and the dancer. The warrior, I got not bored, but the conversations and stuff weren't that interesting. The dancer was a really interesting character. Primrose. If that's the caliber of what we can expect from the final game, we're in for a real treat. Apparently it came under criticism for her because people weren't expecting it to be sort of not sexually explicit, but like there's very strong suggestions of stuff in there.
Well, yes, because she's a dancer for a start.
She is a dancer, and her boss is clearly a bad man, and she's basically trapped she's letting herself be trapped as a slave.
Yeah.
And that plays into the whole sort of mechanic, which I'm not going to go into. But you can basically allure. I'm going to go into it. You can allure people, so you can use your allure to make people follow you and do stuff for you.
Yeah.
But the premise, and this isn't a spoiler because it's done in the first few seconds of you starting the game, but her father gets murdered, and her sort of raison d'etre is to avenge his death.
Yeah. Okay. Standard plot.
Yeah, correct. Completely standard, nothing fancy plotline. You are out there to avenge her death from the men with crow tattoos.
Okay. Do you know how well it does the eight paths then?
No, because you've only got access to two.
Well, yeah, but do they intertwine? Do you know? So would you... Oh, what? Would you do part of one... Wait. And then do part of another.
You will do all eight in the final game. I don't know how that's going to work in the
final game. You don't know whether you'll do one to completion, then do another one, or whether you do half of one and then.
You pick one up
over.
Like chapters. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it is between the art style and the writing, certainly for Primrose. It's going to be mega.
It depends whether you can affect the story.
I suspect it's a fixed story.
Yeah, because if you can affect the story, you've got to either code it so that effectively when you do one playthrough of one character, that basically affects the story of all the other characters you can play through then. Potentially.
Unless there's just variables that they build in.
But that'll just create so much extra work.
Or it's Telltale style variability.
You
feel like you're varying things, but actually it's a fixed point.
Well, a lot of stories have done that in the past. You're just not quite as obvious as Telltale.
Telltale was subtle in the way that they steered you back towards the same path as everyone else.
Well, yeah, but... The problem is with the Telltale games is that they are so quick to do that you can just keep doing them and you realise quickly how I've always ended up at this point. I'm always the same point. Because the people replayed them because they were quite short.
Yes. Yes, they were branching... paths rather than branching narratives.
Yes, the whole thing didn't branch, but parts of it did.
Some would say, like some philosophies on life.
Hmm.
Choose your route through it, but ultimately you're going to die.
Yes.
Not that morbid note. So Project Octopath Traveler, really good. Audio, I don't know, because I had to play with it on mute. I also started trying to play I Am Setsuna.
Oh, okay.
Which, as you know, was a game I was very excited about.
Yes.
I turned it off during the tutorial.
Oh, dear.
I don't know. It's beautiful. Really pretty looking game. Lots of mechanics. I was trying to play it late at night. I will have to go back to it.
Yeah.
But it's one of those games that you start playing it and it just starts throwing mechanic screens at you to like read
pages of text to
understand the mechanic.
So then,
like, there's something about stones that you could imbue with powers, but you had to remember which powers did what. It wasn't what I wanted. And Project Octopath Traveler was much nicer. You had one ability, and you could just read the text and play through the story.
So, you see, if you've got lots and lots of systems, they need to sort of give you them as one at a time.
Yeah, or like as an evolution rather than.
Yeah, just and not by text.
No, agreed.
It's fine making people read text, but you're going to get less uptake.
Yep. It's literally text. It was as if I was reading an instruction manual.
Yeah. People don't want that. We know, because people don't read instruction manuals.
Yeah. So I really struggled with it. And I had to turn it off. I've also been... I think I talked about playing Snake Path last week.
Yes, you did. Yes. And you were sort of getting on with it, but not...
Yeah, really getting on with it now. Got my head around the weird controls, and it's a really fun little game. But... Yeah.
Okay.
It kills my index finger because you've got to hold the trigger down the whole time.
Okay.
Which I just... I get why they've done it, but it's weird. You should almost have to not hold... Or hold the trigger down to not move. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're going to be moving more of the time than you're not moving. But, yeah, once you get your head around the snake movement, then it's a really fun little game. It is very hard. It is really hard in places, especially if you're playing like me as a completionist. To be a completionist in that game is brutal. But the actual core platforming parts are fun. It's well thought through. Playing as a snake is good fun. I like that.
Are you getting on with the checkpoints any better? Because you were having a few questions about checkpoints before.
Am I getting on with the checkpoints better? Yes, now that I've worked out how to play them.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so
I guess so.
I have worked out that when I'm going to go and do something where there is the potential of death, I should go and walk through a checkpoint first.
Okay, yeah.
Which is slowing me down very significantly. But it means that I can not lose all my progress. And you do. It's not like you lose all your progress except for... So if you die and you haven't checkpointed, you will lose all your progress to that point. It's not like it will let you keep the really easy to collect collectibles but make you lose the hard to collect gold coins.
Yeah.
You will lose everything.
Right.
Which it just feels a bit off for a game that where it is so easy to die getting the harder collectibles, and I cannot express that enough. It is so easy to die getting some of these collectibles. The checkpoint system just seems punny. It should auto save after you pick up every collectible that you pick up. That feels like it would be a much better use of the save system, like I think Mario Odyssey does. So I'm pretty confident in Mario Odyssey. When you pick something up, it then saves. So when you get a thing of worth, it saves.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, it's really punishing.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really punishing.
I have to say I haven't gone back to Kingdom Come Deliverance because there's a stealth piece and I just can't do it.
That's interesting.
I just can't face it at the moment because I'm just not feeling the stealth.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Wading in and smacking some people, that's fine. I can do that, but yeah, the stealth bit, I'm not feeling. So yeah, I haven't really gone back to that. I did go back to Astroneer this week though.
Okay.
They released an update. And yeah, base building is a lot different now. It used to be that you clicked on a pipe and it'd expand, and then you put some resources on it and it build something, and that's where it built it. But now you can move your base around and repackage stuff and unpackage stuff, and you build the base how you want it to look now. And there's a lot more options for power distribution and things like that. So it's coming along. Obviously, it's still in early access, so I'll still keep playing with that. But yeah, research. They did a research pass. They've done a modular building pass. I think modular cars and vehicles are next.
Okay.
So you can build your own vehicles to make them look a bit weird and things, I think was the idea. Hopefully. I don't know how long they're planning to be in early access for, but it's been a fair while so far. So we'll see. We'll see how far we get. How far that goes. But this... There's quite a few people playing it. But yeah, I'll check back in that every now and then. They do a blog post every Friday, I think, with the updates. With the dev updates. And I've,
okay. Talking of Phil, okay. You said No Man's Sky is coming to the Xbox.
Yes. And there's a big update in summer, isn't there? They're releasing for free.
Yeah.
That's in time for the Xbox release. I think I did read somewhere that they were rumouring to put actual multiplayer in it.
Not
but that is a rumour rather than a thing. Because at the moment, you can see your a friend, I believe, as a ghost,
mm-hmm.
but you can't interact with them.
Mm.
So there's no trading or anything like that. Which is what a lot of people wanted. They wanted to be able to set their base up and do trading and... You know, interact with their mates and go off exploring with them and things like that. So, hopefully that'll come out. Because that's what a lot of people... But then again, a lot of people wanted it for Skyrim. Co-op Skyrim. So instead of having a companion, you basically just had a mate that comes along with you. I think that would have been great. And just have the companion as... You know, one of you gets to play the main story person and one of you gets to be the sidekick, effectively. Wouldn't be the best way to do multiplayer, but at least it's a way of crowbarring multiplayer into Skyrim. Because you get to have a companion that comes with you everywhere, so why not just make it another person?
Yeah.
There's no reason why it can't be a person. Obviously, they'd have to write all the network tech in. But yeah. I'm surprised they haven't released that as a DLC. A paid add-on or something. Or a Switch exclusive or, you know. That would have been quite an interesting addition. But maybe it's too tricky. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe parts of the story later on you don't get a companion or something. And that would just throw it. Because obviously neither of us had finished the game. So we wouldn't know. But yeah. So let's see.
I started trying to play another game as well.
Okay.
Indie games. I started trying to play Fe. Fe.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Again on the Switch.
Oh okay. I saw it on the PlayStation Store, I think.
So Fe is very, very pretty.
Yeah.
But it's, I think it's being intentionally obtuse.
Okay.
You've got to sing at animals, and when you sing at the animals, they help you out and do stuff. But it's not particularly clear how you interact with those animals. And I've done the first two or three animals. I've learned how to climb trees, and I'm trying to find a bird at the moment. It's, maybe I'll get more into it. Don't know. It feels very pretty and very lovely, but for being very pretty's sake, rather than anything else, it's not. You know when a game just doesn't grab you?
Yeah.
It doesn't have that grab factor. It doesn't have that grab factor, and that's for me one of the that's one of the things with games. I'll tell you what doesn't have the grab factor, but does something else is. Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
So, with Zelda, it's insidious almost. Like, it just creeps in under your skin. So I've now, on Zelda, I finished what I would call the tutorial area. So I've done the first four shrines. And I've now got the parachute, and I'm off in the big bad world, going to Kakariko Village. And it just, I can't explain it to you. There is a point where Zelda just suddenly gets in under your skin, and it's a very difficult game, I would say. Not a difficult game to get into, but it's one of those games that you've just got to keep going, and then suddenly you just find yourself going, oh, just go and get one more beetle, or I'll just go and have a look over that one mountain, or I just want to go and defeat that one Bobokling camp. There's always, it's the just one more thing factor with Zelda.
Okay, yeah.
That makes it just so compelling, and just hasn't got that. It's a similar, the reason I'm comparing them, even though they're, one's a platformer and one's a open world game, is that they both are trying to draw you into their world and to make you want to carry on doing what you're doing in their world.
Okay.
But Zelda succeeds in that, and just doesn't seem to.
So I didn't get on with Zelda very much at all.
How far through did you go?
Oh, not far at all. I bounced off it quite quickly. I didn't get very far. I didn't get out of the starting area, that's for sure. I got to the cathedral, ruined cathedral on the hill, and I think that's about as far as I got. So basically I woke up, I went down a hill, went past a guy who talked to me and gave me some food, I think. Then I went up to a cathedral and then I stopped. And that's about my sum total of that game. Must have been less than half an hour, easily. I meant to go back, but I never did. Probably doesn't help that it's on the Wii U, and my Wii U's have been all over the place, and very rarely gets plugged in these days.
So I can heartily recommend. I didn't think I'm sure Zelda is going to burn out on me, because Zeldas do. But the just one more thing fact I was not expecting, because this is the first Zelda to have it, that normally it's not just one more thing in Zelda. It's, oh, I'm going to go and tackle that entire dungeon now.
Yeah.
Whereas Breath of the Wild seems to have been designed with a much more piecemeal approach.
Okay.
Which is ideal, I guess. You know, it was obviously designed in part with portable play in mind.
Yes, because that's what you want on portable play, isn't it?
Yeah, and it really works well on portable play. You know, I can just pick up Zelda, play 5 minutes worth, and have achieved something. Whereas, say, maybe I'm being unkind, maybe I need to play more of Faye, but so far it's distinctly middling for me. Which is a shame, because it's one of those games that I really wanted to do well, and I'm glad EA gave an indie dev team a chance to do something. So I'm, at the moment I'm reserving judgment on Faye, but it's definitely mid territory for me.
Okay.
In its current incarnation, where I'm up to in the game at the moment, obviously games evolve. But yeah, I would say it's in the middle ground. Sea of Thieves I talked about last week. I don't think of big much else. Play some Overcooked with some friends.
I've played another game.
So go on, pray tell.
I played a co-op game.
No.
With Psy.
With who?
With Psy.
Never heard of him.
Because I think we agreed to play something at the weekend.
We did, and a way out, and then I didn't get to go on
yes.
play games at the weekend.
Yeah, so Psy happened to be online.
Okay.
So I can't remember whether it was Friday night or Saturday night.
How is former co-host extraordinaire, who's meant to still be a host, Psy?
It's fine. He was up quite late that night. Because we played the entire game in one sitting.
6 hour game, isn't it?
It is a 6 hour game. It was just under 6 hours we did it in. Although we did have...
Did you record it?
No, not the whole thing.
Oh, guys.
I didn't have it set up, and we wanted to get onto it and get going.
Okay.
I did record an epic arm wrestle battle between the two of us, partway through the game. There's these little mini games you can play halfway through, like arm wrestling, Connect Four, darts. I can't remember. There's a couple of other games as well. And Si beat me on most of them, including a blooming arm wrestle. We must have spent a good 5 or 10 minutes just tapping a button during this arm wrestling thing. It took ages. Because we're just battling each other on just pressing one button over and over again. Just tapping it. Well, it's just a thing you can do partway through the game. And yeah, he beat me on that one. I beat him on the Connect 4, and then he beat me on something else. I can't remember what we were doing. I know, balancing on a wheelchair he beat me on. There's various little mini silly things like that pop all the way through the game. But yeah, it's quite good. Yeah, you basically break out of, the idea is you break out of prison to go and get revenge. So you both got revenge.
So this was one of my games that I really wanted from E3.
It's pretty good.
My concern was going to be the replayability of it.
There is some replayability, I'll put it that way. There is a twist at the towards the end.
Okay.
That we both thought was coming.
Yeah.
It didn't.
I can really guess what it is without.
It didn't quite happen the way we expected it to.
Okay.
But yes, we don't know how it. We didn't figure out how it went if it went a different way.
Okay.
I assume there's at least two endings, maybe more. But we'll have to see. I'll have to try and Google it.
Guy who made its pedigree, because he made Brothers.
Yeah.
So given his pedigree, I can kind of guess where that game was going to go.
Okay.
I don't know for sure. I'll talk about it off the show with you.
Yeah, because I played Brothers. I finished Brothers. That was I think that was about one sitting, because that was only a couple of hours.
Yeah, Brothers definitely a one sitting game. It was about 3 or 4 hours.
So yeah, so I enjoyed that one. I'll have to. We'll have to have a go and see if it ended up differently. Yeah, it didn't help that we were playing on PlayStation and part of the game is a shooter, and I am terrible at using. I don't get shooters on console for this reason. I cannot aim with those sticks.
No, it's not your forte.
No.
Did Sony not get that memo?
No, probably not. What I should have done is just bought it on PC, because it's available on PC. I didn't realise. I thought it was a PlayStation exclusive. But it is available on PC as well.
It is available on PC, you're right.
And I think it's about the same price on PC as well.
Yes, and I suspect if anything it's just going to get cheaper, isn't it, on PC?
Well, I don't know, because it's 20 quid. It's 20-something quid on PlayStation. 24 quid, I think. So it's not expensive. And you only have to buy one copy between you.
Yeah, so how did that work in the end? Because there was a lot of sort of...
There was a lot of confusion. Because when I bought it, it says... a friend can play with you with a trial key.
Right.
And I think... So, what is it a mean? Trial? Is it a full... Can they play the full game? Can they just play a trial? Can they... Do they need to buy... a key? Can I only give that key to only one person? In the end, it turns out all you need to do is you need to download the demo, at least on PlayStation. Is one of you needs the full game and the other person needs a demo, and then you play the full game. Obviously the person with the demo can't play with anyone else unless they've got the full game.
Right.
So as I have the full game, I can play with anyone else as long as they download the demo. Although, okay. Having said that, the demo, you can't play anything, apparently. So it's not really a demo, it's just the ability side.
To play the main game.
It's the companion app, effectively, or whatever you want to call it. It's the multiplayer bit.
Can you choose, if you choose in co-op, can you choose who you're going
to
be?
Yes. You get to choose which of the two people you are.
You do. The person who bought the game gets to choose.
No, both of you get to choose.
Okay.
As in, you have to... At various points, it also it gets you to choose which path you take.
Okay.
So you can go reasonable or heavy-handed, because one of the characters is a reasonable, you know, is a reasoned person. The other person is a brutal person.
Okay.
So one person go quiet and one person will go loud at each point. And you basically both have to agree on one of the two options. It's not a vote, you both have to agree. Otherwise it doesn't happen. So you both have to choose the same option and hold the X button. So you go left or right, you both have to pick the same direction and hold the X button at the same time for it to work. So we both have to choose left and press the X button, and then it goes left. Or we both have to choose right and press the X button, and it goes right. If one of you chooses left and one of you chooses right, you just stay at that decision until you both agree.
Oh, God.
So you have to work together. You both have to agree on everything.
So you've got to argue it out.
Yeah, you've got to reason it out between you. Which way you go. It's and there's various points in the game that they've artificially made it so you both have to do stuff. So there's some metal planks over fencing areas that you have to pull away to get further, and each panel requires two people to pull it off. It's not as though, you know, one of you could pick up a crowbar and do it. You both have to be there and both have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other things like you have to work together to do certain things. We had loads of fun climbing up a shaft because you had to basically, one of you had to move, then the other person had to move, then and we just weren't coordinated enough. And we kept slipping down because we weren't coordinated between us. So that was quite funny.
I'll give this game a go with you.
Okay, yeah.
It sounds really interesting. Like, I like the idea that it's co-op with a... You know, the only way of playing it is co-op, so it's like it's enforced co-op.
Yeah.
I do quite like that as a game concept. But as you say, it's a case of finding the time to do it. So let's say... If me and you had started playing the game,
yes,
could Cy then carry on from our progress?
I don't think so. I think we would start again, but then I think later I could pick
that
it up again with Cy.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Hopefully, I'd hope that's how it worked.
I guess because that's got the potential, doesn't it, to be?
That could be really annoying if you can't. You can't. If I start playing with you, then can't play with somebody else, that would be really annoying. But hopefully that would be two separate games. So I could start playing with you, then start playing with Cy, and then go back to you, finish your game off, and then finish Cy's game off. That would be better, but I don't know. I think that's how they would want it to play out.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe if you've got to chapter 3 and I've got to chapter 3, then we can play together from that chapter. Or you have to play from it, because you can choose a chapter at the start, I think.
Okay.
So if we have to play from whatever the earliest chapter is. So if you've only got to 3 and I've got to 6, we have to play from 3.
Right, I'm with you.
So maybe that's how it works. I don't know. Maybe we could try it. But that would require us to have somebody else with the game.
Yeah, not going to happen. I'm happy to give it a go with you.
Yeah, we'll give it a go and see how it is.
Have you played anything else?
I'm just trying to think. No, I've played some... PlayStation 3, Minecraft and things like that, but nothing. Bit more Sims Mobile. Oh, the animations are getting to me now.
Why does it take so long?
No, they're wrong. Some of the animations are completely wrong and they don't match up with what you say you're doing. It's weird. And some of the animations don't work right, and some of the particle effects on the things don't look like they're supposed to look. And it's just... The QA on it, I think, is a bit lacking. So, yeah. Hopefully they'll fix some of that, but I don't know. I've played quite a bit yesterday, and then today I've done nothing on it. And I might not do any more, so we'll have to see.
I've been playing on the Switch a lot, as you can tell. I haven't really touched the PC or note.
Cool.
That's been about all I've been playing. I do want to try the Zombicide tutorial, so we're going to wrap up the show, and me and you are going to go and try that. Aaron, where can people follow you?
I'm at Aaron HUK.
I'm at Flyshy, FLEICHYY. You can follow the entire show at the Loopcasters. Get in touch on email, theloopcasters@hotmail.com. Go on our website, theinfiniteloopcast.com. Support us on theinfiniteloopcast.com/CDKeys.
Yep.
I think that's about it.
Probably.
Bye bye from me. It's bye bye from him.
Bye.